right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
All right, welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis on a very big day, a big couple of days in the world of us people from these islands, and very excited to be joined today, making his debut solo appearance and multiple appearer, but when it's more been like group calls and you did the quiz and things like that, but yeah, Andy Middleton, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, James. Appreciate being invited on. Nerve-wracking doing my first solo one, but yeah, why not?
Oh, don't be nervous. If you mess up, it's only a few thousand people here, don't worry.
Yeah, cool.
So the main thing that we're going to talk about today was Oasis cover versions. And this is something that I've been meaning to do for ages, and it's just one of those sort of ones that's always on the list. Oh, I'll have to do that at some point. And then, I just thought it'd be a good time to do it. What actually was the spur to do it was the John Lennon cover, Bless You, that Liam did recently. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good. And I think I then might have even done a tweet of like, okay, best Oasis covers. And then people were pinging quite a few. I thought, you know what, I need to sort of do that again. And I thought, right, well, who out there from my little gang of regular collaborators, you know, knows their stuff, is a musician, has a good wide range of music knowledge, and I couldn't think of anyone, so I got you instead, Andy.
You mean Richard was busy tonight?
Richard was busy, yeah. No, to be fair, Richard, you know, I'm talking to Richard a lot at the moment with that Rain podcast. I've kind of had enough of him, so I'll let's get someone else.
Cool.
And yeah, but I suppose the big news, not really Oasis related, but the Queen's just died. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I've said for the last couple of weeks, she looked pretty frail, and but it always is a bit of a shock when something big like that happens. I quite like the Queen, you know. I know a lot of people I'm not a royalist, but I quite like the Queen. Mm. You know, she's a grandmother, she's a mother. It's just really sad. Just reminds us a bit of when Diana was killed, you know, that kind of national mourning, and the news is just completely dominated by it. I put Radio 6 on before in the car, and it was just all of the BBC stations had exactly the same broadcast.
Oh,
which
right.
is probably, okay. It's probably done by design that they probably had that ready to go for a number of years, maybe. But so,
what were they playing then? Were they playing sort of just sad songs?
No, it was just purely talking about the Queen and her life, and like a bit of a celebration of her life, and recounting when she was coronated, and there was no music at all at this stage, but I've just been told all the sports being cancelled this weekend, so it's a bit of a,
See, like I'm not a royalist at all. I'm not a monarchist. If it was up to me, I wouldn't chop off their heads, but take away all the money, everything. You know, I'm a Republican in that way, not in the American way, definitely. Definite grudge and respect for her, to have worked. And actually, I was reading, I can't remember who it was, someone did like a little story about how they, it was a journalist, I think, who'd been in Aleppo in the Middle East, and like the Queen could see, he was sort of sitting with the Queen at some function. She could see he was really nervous, and she was like really good, and and was like getting the corgis over and stuff, just to like, obviously she kind of clocked that he was struggling and sort of managed to calm him down and things like that. You think, to be fair, the amount of stuff that she's done over the years, visiting hospitals, sick kids, and all that sort of stuff, that fair play to her, and also having to sit through all of those Royal Variety performances over the years. Jesus Christ, how many times must have she sat through like David Walliams and Joe Pasquale and all that sort of crap. So I think she deserves our grudging respect for that.
And then half the people that she probably sat through are on charges or on the register now. It was interesting. Before I was on Twitter, and Liam had put something, it was about 40 minutes ago now. just gutted in capital letters, but I didn't know if you meant because the Man City game's cancelled or
He hasn't clarified that actually. I saw that. I was gonna say, yeah. So Liam gutted. But yeah,
But he was knighted as a national treasure, wasn't he, on that
comic relief team. Yeah. I think he probably will come out. I think he's, you know, they've all had, you know, none of them are staunch loyalists, but they're all, I think they'll all probably, you know, it'll be interesting. Well, Noel's obviously gone quiet on the Matt Morgan side since that last controversy about Glastonbury, which is a shame because, you know, I do enjoy those. But, you know, if he does end up coming back and talking about it, I can imagine he'll, you know, pay grudge and respect, even though he's not really a royalist, similar to a lot of us, I imagine. There we go. All right, well, that's the news and current affairs part. A couple of bits of Oasis news before we get into the cover versions. Well, first off, the Funko Pops. This is brilliant. So I don't know if people saw that, you know, they released these Oasis, Noel and Liam Funko Pops a few months ago. And I'm not bothered about Funko Pops at all. But anyway, I know a lot of people were quite excited to get them. They've been issued and they've spelt Gallagher wrong. They've missed out the H. So it's like Gallagher, but then just G-E-R. And I'm like, seriously, how many, is there anything that has a clearer kind of indication of how Ignition have royally buggered up managing the Oasis brand? They couldn't even make sure that the Funko Pops were spelt right. I mean, come on.
I know. I saw that they got the Union Jack wrong on Noel's guitar and everything. There was numerous things wrong with it, wasn't it? It wasn't just the
I didn't even spot that.
Yeah, there was. Goodness. I think someone had put it up on Twitter, spot the mistake, and obviously the Gallagher one was the obvious one. But it was like there was two stripes on the Union Jack, and there should have been three or four or something like that. And I think even had the different color trainers on or something.
All right, okay.
But,
very stupid. But then the other, I suppose, the more important like bit of merch that's happened recently, and you're a good person to have on about this. I know you're into your guitars. Is Noel's released a new Gibson?
Yeah, so he's quite exciting. He's released two. The one that everyone's sort of after, but it'll be too expensive for the majority of us, is the Gibson Custom Shop NG. It's a 1960 AS355 Gibson Cherry. Beautiful guitar. I think he's talked about it on Matt Morgan, actually, that he's had it for a number of years, and then he was in Paris and he was in a guitar shop and he found the one which had the next serial number along from his. So he bought that and he said it was an absolute dog of a guitar. It just didn't sound the same or anything like that. But he did mention on there that Gibson were looking at creating a custom shop version. So they've got, you know, the Tom Murphy, I don't know if you know anything about guitars at all, James, but Gibson have got this thing called the Murphy Lab. It's a guy called Tom Murphy who ages guitars and puts little dints and dings in to mimic what's on the actual artist's guitar. So he's done that with Noel and have created 200 copies of that AS355. But I saw that it was going for, in dollars, $9,999. But there's someone selling one on Reverb and it's £13,000 in English money. So, you know, they must have been snapped up straight away or pre-ordered.
I wanted to start playing Epiphones because of the Beatles. I didn't know anything about guitars then. They looked good, they felt good, I could make them sound good. And I'm a songwriter, I'm not a guitar player, you know, that's my thing. And I'd never seen that colour before, whatever colour that is, like wine red or purple or whatever it is. I'm not one of those people who can sit in a guitar shop and play lots of things. I will literally play an E chord. And it would have sounded great and it would have felt good and I would have just said, yeah, I'll take it. I'm gonna start a revolution from my bed. Cause you said the brain. I haven't played one of those for years and years. But when I picked it up, I remembered the twang of it. That's the thing that was like, oh, yeah. It's a great rhythm guitar. It's got a great twang to it. But I remember I did use it a lot on the making of Morning Glory. I would have played that on every track. That would have been my guitar, and it would have been my go-to guitar at the time. I would have definitely played all the rhythm tracks on it, for sure.
It's just ridiculous money. I mean, I bought the J150 when that came out So early 2021, June 21, I think it was. And that set me back nearly 4,000. That was a Gibson acoustic that he plays on the Little by Little video, the one with the Adidas sticker.
Right.
So I've done a ridiculous unboxing of that on YouTube, if anyone wants to have a look at it, where I completely like balls it up and nearly smash it on the floor when I'm getting it out. It's, the comments are hilarious because it's just like people taking the piss out of us, basically. But it's on YouTube anyway, if you want to have a look at that.
I'll link that below.
Yeah. But that that guitar, there was only 200 of them made, and I've only ever seen one for resale, and that was going for 8,000. So a nice little investment, I suppose, but you've got to have the money in the first place to afford them. So thankfully, he's done like a more affordable mass-produced one. He's the Epiphone Riviera, which is like a wine red colour. And again, harking back to the Matt Morgan podcast, he referred to going over to America recently. He was invited. He kept it all a bit cagey. He didn't say what it was for, but he went back to the house that the film Don't Look Back in Anger. And he's done a sort of little film for Gibson TV to promote this guitar. So if anyone goes on the Gibson TV website, there's a little 5-minute video. It's quite good. And that guitar is like £799.
Okay.
So I've just, my other half doesn't know yet, but I've just pre-ordered one of them. So not
your
as fancy
slipped.
As the...
It's an investment, darling. It's an investment.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, quite a bit happening with that. And it's probably not his last one either.
No,
I'm sure they'll be issuing a few more.
What about that pink Wonderwall one? That's might be a popular one. That's quite a bold one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think maybe even his Gibson Les Paul that he smashed over someone's head.
Oh yeah,
Newcastle Riverside, Johnny Moore's ex one.
That's funny. I remember now, him talking to Matt Morgan about that, the fact that like all the little dinks and you know they deliberately make all those different amendments to it. And as a someone I know through work, it wasn't an old Gallagher one, it was another guitar player, it was a Mark Knopfler, that's it, and he got the similar thing, like they've aged it and they add on all the, and I think this one kind of it had like a bit of metal sticking out of it or whatever, that from when Mark Loftus tried to fix it or whatever in the 80s. And as he's picked it up in the shop and he sort of said, oh, shall I just snap that off? And they went, no. You do that, you're completely ruining the whole point of having these aged guitars. That's the whole point of it. Cool. Yeah. All right, well, there you go. If people have got a spare $13,000, then that's an option. Or maybe, that slightly cheaper one. Cool. All right. Well, look, let's have a chat about Oasis cover versions then, shall we?
Yeah.
So this is it's an interesting one because, cover versions have been an important part of Oasis going all the way back to the start. And obviously there's been some big, very famous cover versions they've done, and a band that are so kind of revering their heroes, standing on the shoulder of giants. It made sense that they would do cover versions because they were always going. They were always talked about the Beatles, they talked about the Jam, and all these different people that they loved. So it does make sense that they did cover versions. And I suppose it's also it means they have to write less songs if they do a few covers as well. But what's your initial thoughts on Oasis cover versions generally before we go into the individual ones?
What surprises the most was the amount of Beatles cover versions. I didn't realise how many there was. And I think when you first invited us to do this show, I thought I'd better do a bit of homework because the list that you sent through, there was some of them, honestly, I'd never heard. I'd never heard the versions of them. But I was really pleasantly surprised with a lot of them. I'm not a massive fan of the Jam, if I'm perfectly honest. They're not one of my favourite bands, but yeah, quite enjoyed the Jam ones. Some of the more obscure sort of Beatlesy Lennon ones and things that Liam's done. I know Noel's had the bigger say in what they did because he pretty much sings most of them.
Yeah.
I think he does about, of the ones that we looked at, that we're going to look at, I think he does 18 of them and Liam does about 12 or something like that. It was good going through them, to be honest. Remind myself of them.
Cool. All right. Well, and I also I thought what we'd do here as well is we'd like between us, we'd sort of see who was our favorite, whose version we thought was best. And then, you know, and then also I did ask on Twitter, like I said, when that Bless You came out, I pinged over, and then I actually did most of them. I think I missed a couple, but like, whose version do you prefer out of, you know, out of the Oasis one, or obviously some of them are Noel and Liam solo, BDI, or the original. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, and we can give the definitive answer as which was best. So one that I didn't ask on was the first one that they ever did is, as far as I'm aware, was Better Let You Know. So this was, you know, it's on the pre, definitely maybe demos, never officially released, but it's based on this sort of dance song called Feel the Groove by Cartouche, which I've dropped in the podcast and you know, in the Borough House Radio and things over the years. What do you think of these two? Do you enjoy a bit of that early 90s dance music?
Yeah, it's really typical sort of 90s Euro pop, isn't it? The Cartouche one, like I think a Belgian or something like that. I never knew that it was a cover version. I bought a CD years ago at a record fair, which had all them demos on, and I always loved this one. So yeah, the original, it's a bit twee, it's a bit cheesy, but you know, it has its place, I suppose. But I think the Oasis version was Noel in Oasis then when they did this,
yeah.
Or was this pre? It was just sort of like baggy shuffling drum beat. You know, I think Liam's vocals got a bit of, you know, the Bono's vocal on the Fly single.
Like it's got that kind of
of treatment. It does go on a little bit, but you know, it's still really good. Good indication of where they were going to go. And I think they recorded it for free in a warehouse or something that Tony McCarroll he'd done some plastering, so the guy who had the warehouse let them use it to record the demos and stuff. So
yeah
I think of the two, I would say the Oasis one's my favourite, just because that to me was the definitive version until I realised it was a cover, you know.
So I do. I didn't at the time. I liked a lot of dance music too, Unlimited and stuff, when I was like 11, 12. And then kind of getting into Oasis later on, I was like, oh no, it's crap. It's not guitars, it's crap. But now actually, I do listen to sort of early rave music, you know, Prodigy and Temple of Dreams by Messiah is a great song, like Utah Saints, people like that. Like I've got a lot more nostalgia for that stuff now. But yeah, I agree. I think that Better Let You Know by Oasis, I would prefer. I say it does go on a bit. You know, one of the things that they said that the real people brought to them after they did the sessions with them is they kind of made them stop doing these like long jams and things and actually made them craft songs a bit better. And you can hear that. I think here they're sort of much more into the, you can imagine them in the boardwalk just pounding it out and then just sort of going over and over and over. Like Columbia has that sort of feel to it.
So
cool. All right, well, let's plan through this a little bit quicker because we're going to, there's like 35 or something. next up, and it's a very famous one. So we've got I'm the Walrus. Now, this was a big, bold move. This is something that Alan McGee sort of says is one of the main reasons why he couldn't assign them, was the balls of them. You know, in 1993, an unsigned Manchester band to then cover I'm the Walrus by the Beatles. I know the Beatles in 1993 were definitely viewed differently, I think, than they are now. I mean, they were obviously still like one of the biggest bands of all time and massively popular. But that's a bold move. And yeah, what do you think of it?
Yeah, I wasn't. I'd heard the Beatles version of it, but this is actually my favourite Oasis cover. Anyway, I believe it was recorded at Glen Eagles Hotel, wasn't it? Not I think on the B side of Cigarettes and Alcohol. It says it was at the Cat House, but it was actually recorded at Glen Eagles Hotel for like an A&R too. But I just think that it just sounds amazing. It's powerful. It's psychedelic. It's just it's bold. To put that on one of your first singles as a B-side, a Beatles cover, it's like making quite a statement, isn't it? So, but I didn't realise that the original had been banned by the BBC, the original Beatles version. It was like a double A-side with Hello Goodbye, and it got banned. But it was number one and two simultaneously in the charts as well at the same time. So a little bit of trivia there for the listeners if they didn't know that. I think like there's some really notable versions of this as well. So sort of they live by the sea, Nebworth, Earl's Court with the bootlegs, Main Road. It was interesting that it was kind of dropped after around about 96. They dropped it out the set, and then it kind of briefly came back in the early 2000s, and then it came back in style in 2008, 2009. I think they played it pretty much every gig.
Yeah.
Near the end, so.
Mm. And officially the last song they ever played live, because it finished the 2009 final gig. So, yeah. Interesting. So which version do you prefer then?
I prefer the Oasis version.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm a massive Beatles fan and I love this. This has always been one of my favourite songs. When I first heard it, the Oasis version was the first one I heard. I didn't really get into the Beatles until Oasis, other than them just being, around forever. But yeah, and then I remember listening to the Beatles version and just being like, what the hell is this? Where's the guitars? Like, this doesn't... And I just couldn't get... When I first started listening to the Beatles, especially the sort of 66, 67, like, psychedelic-y period, I just didn't understand it. I'm like, this isn't rock and roll. This is like children's music. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I was like, just really, what are they on about? Corporation T-shirt, stupid bloody Tuesday, man. You've been a naughty boy. You let your face grow long. I am the Eggman. They are the Eggman. I am the Walrus. Mr. City Policeman sitting pretty. And it was literally, just carry on listening and listening. And then it was like, it clicked. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, it's absolutely genius. So no, I really love the Oasis version. And my preferred one is the Oz Court one, when you've got the bootleg Beatles as well, because then you've got more on the woos and you've got the other instrumentation, the horns and everything. So that would be my preferred version. But no, the Beatles version is my favourite. It's just so bold and, it's so dynamic, the shifts, and it's got so many chords. It's one of my favourite songs. So I'm going to go the Beatles. Yeah. And what did the people say? Oh, no, the people said 66% Oasis, 34% Beatles. So Oasis wins that one.
Yeah.
Well done, the people. Right, what's next then? So I've got here, Goodbye Cruel World. So this is a funny one. This is one he did in the radio, and it's not like a proper cover version. It's like, obviously there's the Pink Floyd tune, Goodbye Cruel World, from The Wall. And he was in a really funny mood doing this radio session, like where they did like amateur burrows on a bitch, and he was just in a really silly mood. And then I suppose he's like saying goodbye, And then so he just goes into Goodbye Cruel World by Pink Floyd, which I didn't even know was a Pink Floyd song. Like, as I say, probably only until I would have listened to The Wall in my 20s, I think. I don't think I didn't listen to The Wall all the way through until then. So, yeah, it was a quite a surprise. But it's a really fun little, it's just a fun little thing that Noel did in a radio studio.
All right, we're getting out of here.
Say goodbye, cold world. Say I'm leaving you today. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Say goodbye, all you people. There's nothing that you can say to make me change my mind. Goodbye.
Yes.
Yeah, he was just messing about, wasn't he? And it is quite funny. It's when you think it's quite a serious album, The Wall, and then he plays that as if it's like a Bob Dylan skit. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Pink Floyd either, but I do like The Wall, and I love the first song on it, In the Flesh. It's one of my favourite songs. But yeah, I think it's only about a minute long, that song on The Wall anyway, so
yeah,
it's pretty not even really worth discussing, I suppose, because it's not even really a cover version, but it's an interesting little nugget, I suppose, that's out there.
Yeah, no, it's good fun. I just like the fact it's in his locker and he's doing that sort of funny, like, American accent, isn't he? All the people.
Yeah.
Like that. And yeah, it's a shame they didn't do more of that. You know, that was such a great part of the Oasis fan experience, was getting the bootlegs and, you know, finding these little radio sessions they'd done and stuff over the years. You know, I'm sure a lot of us have got, like, the various Oasis bootleg CDs that were like seven versions of Shaker Maker on them and things like that. But I do, it's good fun. I do, as I say, I do wish they'd done a bit more of that. That was sort of part of what made them, you know, what made them special, as they would do dumb stuff like that. But
yeah,
there you go. Right. Next up, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. So this was a, some might say, B-side, but on the Japanese version, as a bonus track. Very similar, obviously, the Beatles' original, you know, is a John Lennon, just acoustic-y with a little bit of percussion on it. Noel doesn't stray wildly from it. So, yeah, I think they're both similar, both lovely. You know, it's a great song. I've always loved the song. There's rumours that it's about, what, Brian Epstein, because the fact he was gay. You know, you've got to hide your love away. And was it like a little sort of message of support to Brian Epstein? Don't know. But yeah, I really like both versions. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm the same as you, James. I don't think you can put too much between them. I think the chords are very Noel anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to the Beatles version, it's probably one that he thought, I can leave me little finger and my next finger on the top two strings and just work my way through the chords like he normally does with a capo on. So yeah, probably played into his hands a little bit there. In terms of which one I'd prefer, I'd probably say the Beatles, just because it's the Beatles, isn't it?
Yeah.
But on, like, the subject of the Japanese stuff, I only found out recently that, because I was always wondered why, you know, Japanese imports had these extra tracks on and stuff, but it's because the Japanese government don't want people buying in records from outside of the country.
Oh, yeah.
So they have agreements with the record companies that they would hold back a couple of songs for the Japanese market. And so that's why you always get these Japanese imports with additional songs on. It's like a government mandate.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Yeah. I've always wondered that as well. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and it's great. You know, it means there's always sort of extra little bits and pieces that we can then get. Yeah, and I agree. I would go with the Beatles, mainly because of the voice. You know, I love Noel's voice on it, but I really love John Lennon's voice around this time as well. And obviously it's the original, isn't it? So it's always hard to go against the original. And then the people said 72% Beatles. So yeah, so it's a Beatles, Beatles Full House.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. I can hear them laugh.
to hide your love away.
What's next? Oh, well, this is also like one I sort of completely forgot about and then threw in at the last minute, sort of came around this time, I believe, which was Noel doing This Guy's in Love with You, the Burt Bacharach tune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so I don't know how I completely forgot about that. But yeah, I once again, this is one of my favourite songs, and it's a favourite song because Noel says it's one of his favourite songs. And so I was like, all right, we'll have to go and listen to it then. And I love it. It's one of my absolute favourites. And it's sort of a go-to. I mean, I haven't done it on karaoke, but I have sung it. Like, I have sung it on the radio before when I was at uni. And, you know, and it's because it's quite low, although you can go high in the chorus if you want to. So it sort of sits nicely. You can kind of croon it. It's a fun one to sing, actually. So it's like, yeah, I do croon it. And I think I can sing it pretty well because so it's quite easy to sing and quite low. But yeah, I do really like this song. And I really like Noel's version of it. I suppose it's not really one you can compare because there isn't like a definitive version. I suppose the definitive version, the one that was the biggest hit, would be Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass did a version of it. But then there's loads, like Donny Osmond, like there's loads of versions.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I really love this song.
Yeah, it's fantastic, the version Noel does. The one I've particularly listened to, is, I don't know if there's any other versions of it, but was it Royal Albert Hall in 1996?
Royal Festival Hall, I think.
Royal Festival Hall. And it doesn't even sound like Noel. It's that good. It's like that good. It's like, where does he get that from? It's just absolutely beautiful, the vocal on it. Really incredible performance. But I did compare that with the Herb Albert one, just to decide which one I thought was best. And I went for Noel's version, if I'm perfectly honest. Yeah. I think it's just a absolutely beautiful cover version. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's great. And it's sort of, it's not, the style of it and everything, that the arrangement and everything is kind of an old school cheesy style, but it feels more modern. It feels like a classic, you know, old school song, but it's done, so it's really produced well, and he sings it really, you know, really, really well, doesn't he? There's a lot of emotion in his voice, and I mean, it's just such a beautiful melody anyway. But yeah, love it, great stuff.
I heard some talk, they say you think I'm fine. Yes, I'm in love, and what I do to make you mine, tell me now, is it so? Don't let me breathe the last to know my hands are shaking.
Next up, this is a cool one. I know you're a big Ocean Colour Scene fan, aren't you?
Yeah, love them.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got the B-side to The Circle, live recording of Day Tripper. So it came out as Ocean Colour Scene, but Liam and Noel are on it as well. So come on, we've got to chuck it in there. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, this is the one from the Camden Electric Ballroom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there's like two notable versions. There was that one at Royal Albert Hall, I think it was 1997.
Okay.
And then there was this one, which was obviously a bit earlier than that. I think it was 96, released as the B-side. I love the wah, like Steve Craddock's wah-wah in the background partway through the song. It's just phenomenal. It's done at pace as well. It's a bit faster than the Beatles version. It's a proper rock, I like. And I was at a Bingley Festival a couple of years ago, and I actually stayed at the same hotel as Ocean Colour Scene.
No.
And they were headlining. So in the bar after the gig, I was lucky enough to speak with Simon, had a pint with him. And one of the things I asked him was, you know, what's your favourite ever performance with Ocean Colour Scene? And he said the Royal Albert Hall when I'm doing Day Tripper with Oasis. You know, that was the best ever experience. Yeah. And that's from the horse's mouth, I suppose. So
there you go. Fantastic. Yeah. No, I love it. And I'll tell you, it's funny because I built a little Oasis covers versus originals Spotify playlist, which I'll link below, and I shared it on Twitter. And so you listen to the Oasis one and the original, and that's how it's sort of built. And I tell you what, listening to this one, it's when the Beatles one kicks in after listening to this one, it's so slow, you know, because this one, and then the Beatles one, because it's that era when they were sort of started smoking weed, the Ticket to Ride kind of, everything's a little bit more sort of chilled out and you know, got the weed smoke around it. And so I've always thought of it as being more of a fast song, but you listen to one than the other, it's like, whoa, the Beatles one's really slow. But yeah, and I do like the, I mean, the OCS one is a bit raucous. It's a bit all over the place. And, you know, it's cool. They're shouting and they're kind of, you know, Liam's got a good reason and stuff. You know, that's just such, you know, I love it. And it's sort of, they're kind of spurring each other on, aren't they? Simon's kind of doing his little bit, you know. So no, I do really like them both. I mean, I would prefer the Beatles one. I'd love to have heard a studio version of this, actually. So similar to the Beatles, but, you know, like faster and louder. Maybe that I would prefer to the Beatles version, but the live version versus this, I'm still just about going to go Beatles. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, you kind of get away from the Beatles version.
Fair enough. And the Twitter said Beatles 76%. So there we go. All right, next up, we've got one of the absolute classics, Come On, Feel the Noise, Don't Look Back in Anger B-side, huge loads of live performances, epic, famous, legendary live performances. This is in my top 20 or so Oasis songs anyway, but yeah, absolutely love this. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just completely perfect for Liam's vocal. It's a stomper. It's just, when I first heard it, I wasn't aware of the Slade version. I wasn't like a Slade fan or anything. So when I first heard this, I sort of discovered Slade off the back of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. And when looking at the Slade version, it was their fourth number one. And the bit on it where he's like, baby, 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 that was just a mic test. And the guy who was recording the song just put it into the song. He'd like that, you know. I mean, you'll probably know the answer to this. Is this the one where they did two performances in the same night on Top of the Pops? They did this and Don't Look Back in Anger.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
that was so special.
In terms of like, I've got this as a draw between the two versions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got Oasis miles ahead. I think that the Slade version's good, but it feels like 80%. You know, to me, whereas the Oasis version feels like 150%. And then you've got the Quiet Riot version as well. So that, like, a lot of the Americans, I know when I did the, someone I interviewed was one of the Americans. It might have been one of the movie Multiverse guys. He didn't even know that the Slade version existed. He was like, oh yeah, the Quiet Riot song, you know, which is that one that goes, girls, rock your boys. And it's like, ugh, bloody Americans. But, yeah, no, I love this one. And it's got to be Oasis for me. And I'm sure Twitter says the same thing as well. Yeah, Oasis 85%.
Wow. That
12% much. Slade, Quiet Riot 3%.
What do
I know? Got 3%. I'm surprised they got 3% actually, but maybe that's the Americans or someone just being annoying. There we go. Cool. Yeah, I absolutely love that. It was one of my favourite Oasis songs, you know, but even things like So You Think My Singing's Out of Time, when it makes, you know, all that sort of stuff is just so perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So right, next up is Heroes. So this was the Do You Know What I Mean B-side. Obviously the David Bowie song. Noel sings it. What do you think?
I'm not a big fan of Noel's version of it. No. I love Bowie's version, but I just kind of... There's some good bits in it. I mean, the screaming war guitar in the background and stuff like that, but I know that... It's one of Noel's favourite songs, isn't it? I think he was going to put it on his Desert Island Discs until Sorak talked him out of it and he put Let's Dance on instead. It's not there for me. It was part of a fantastic CD single I remember buying at the time, which I'd Stay Young and stuff on, and used to play that to death. It's just nowhere near as good as the original.
Yeah, I think for me, I talked about it not too long ago on the Be Here Now ranking, the Be Here Now era ranking. It's just the main thing for me is that David Bowie delivers it like almost like it's a film or something. You know, the way he starts out and he's like, "Oh, I will remember," he's doing it, and then it goes into like "Aye!" at the end.
Yeah.
Whereas Noel's just like all the way through, he just belts it out like. And that's fine and it's great. And I know some people do prefer that because especially if you're not too bothered about David Bowie or if you find his voice a bit annoying in that song, then you probably would prefer the Noel version. But no, for me, I think that sort of strips away everything that makes that song really, really special. No, it's the Bowie version for me. And 68% of people said Bowie. Danny O'Hanlon said the Oasis version is a spirited pub sing-along, but Bowie's version can't be touched. There you go, I agree with that.
Good summary,
All right, so next up, around this time, so we're into like the Be Here Now era now, and he was doing various radio things, and something he did in those radio things, I wasn't sure whether to include this or not, because it's not really a cover version. We're talking about Setting Sun or Coming On Strong. So we know Noel kind of wrote the song originally, gave it to the Chemical Brothers. They then made it into Setting Sun, had a massive hit with it, number one hit. But then Noel a few times then sort of covered it, you know, as a very Americana-y, acoustic-y song, similar to Fading Out. I've always sort of found them very similar, that sort of drop D tuning and stuff. And I like it. I think it's cool how he does it. I think it's very slow. It drags on a bit. I prefer the Chemical Versions brother for that. Chemical Versions brother. The Chemical Brothers version for that reason, because it's just sort of drags on a bit, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's funny you pointed out the fade in out, because that's exactly my thoughts at the beginning of when he's strumming the guitar. It just sounds like the beginning of Fade In Out with the drop D that you see. It's kind of that kind of Western kind of soundtrack type sound to it. The Chemical Brothers version just smashes it, you know.
Yeah.
I remember being like indie discos and stuff and everyone just going berserk when this came on.
Yeah.
You know, it's phenomenal. Mm. Really good.
No, brilliant. Cool. All right. So that's a win for the Chemicals. Then we've got Street Fighting Man. So Street Fighting Man's B-side to the All Around the World single. And a controversial one, probably. I much prefer the Oasis version. I always have from day one. Once again, it's another, I'm a fan of the Stones, and this era of the Stones is my favorite era. The like late 60s, early 70s is the only real period that I really like. Never been a massive Stones guy. But yeah, Street Fighting Man by the Stones, I think, is a good, cool song. But then the Oasis version, similar to Common Field Noise, I think it just completely rocks it. And Liam, the way Liam delivers it with Noel's backing vocals on it, I just think it turns it up to 11. So yeah, so probably controversial. I think Twitter probably went for the Stones, but Oasis for me.
Yeah, I agree. That's exactly what I'd put.
Oh, cool.
It absolutely suits Noel's backing vocal as well. It really shines through. It's perfect for them and perfect for Liam's voice. Proper wall of sound recording of it as well. You know, it's just relentless. Whereas the Stones version, it's like a honky tonk sort of plinky plonk version, isn't it? It's I noticed in the I didn't realize in the lyrics he sings the dancing in the street lyrics from Martha Reeves, and then obviously revisits that with Bowie. In the '80s, you know.
So
I only picked up on that when I was listening to it earlier on this week.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased you agree with me. The Twitter doesn't. We had 57% said Stones, 43% said Oasis. All right, next up we have To Be Someone. This is an interesting one, I think. So this is the Jam song, To Be Someone, brackets, Didn't We Have a Nice Time, that Noel's covered a few times. Now, normally, like I said, when he does these versions, he keeps it pretty straight. But this one, he completely rewrites almost, you know. It's like he changes the chord, the melody, the way he delivers it. It's an overhaul, I'd say.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a fantastic cover version. I really do. I love it. Surprised he didn't play it more. Looking on Setlist FM, he's only played it four times in 98 on a US tour. It's kind of got his trademark chord structure. I just think it's fantastic. And like I said earlier, I'm not a massive chat. I prefer the later period of the Jam when they were getting more into, you know, the Beat Surrender and, you know, Bitterest Pill and that type of thing. I mean, the Jam version, well, I'm saying version, the Jam original is good, but I think Noel just, like you say, completely changes it around, and it's a fantastic cover version. So for me, that's the best version of it.
It's a real tough one for me because I do really like a lot of things about the Jam one, but I think it suffers from they reuse that Taxman riff too much.
Yeah.
They used it, and it's in here, you know, dum, 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 and you know, there's no need for it. You know, just play it. You know what I mean? And sort of, especially probably, I think I did know the Noel version first before listening to the Jam version. And I like the way that Weller delivers it. Hanging out with all my trendy friends, you know, all that sort of stuff. I really think he's got that sort of venom and spite, the way he spits it out and stuff. I think that's really good. but yeah, as I said, the instrumentation, I think, you know, maybe they could have arranged that differently. It would have been better. Whereas, yeah, Noel just has this completely different take on it. Like, or a big film star. Yes, I think that I would like that. You're like, wow, okay. Because whereas that, well, it's just like, I think I would like that, you know. It is so different.
Someone must be a wonderful thing. I could be a footballer
I probably would favor the jam version, I think, because just because it's I tend to favor the faster, you know, less into my acoustic tunes, I'm more into rockers, so I'd probably just about favor the jam version, you know, albeit, you know, with the fact I'm not a fan of that reusing the Taxman sort of riff. Let's see what the people
I'm guessing Twitter will say the jam as well.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Twitter say Noel, 55% to 45%. Oh, wow. There you go. Okay. Well, Noel takes it then. The last thing to say about that, I think the lyrics are so great. You know, when he's sort of, you know, no more cocaine, now there's only ground chalk, but you know, all that sort of stuff. It's no more swimming my guitar shaped pool, you know, because it was also, you know, if you think around that time on that Be Here Now tour, he was getting disillusioned with, you know, with it. And so actually, yeah, it made sense that that kind of resonated with him in a way so much that he was like, yeah, I'll play this live, but, you know, obviously move it to my own favorite chord sequence.
Yeah.
And then another sort of similarly on the Be Here Now tour, he was covering Help, the Beatles' Help, and another one that he's reworked as well.
I just do not like this at all.
No.
I think it's bland. It's bland. It's like a pub singer. It's just, for me, it just doesn't do anything original, anything new. I know you're saying it's reworked, but it just, I don't think it works, even though it's reworked. It's my least favourite of his covers. I'm probably completely off the mark with the Twitter followers, but that's my take, and I just it's not one for me.
No, I agree. I'm not really I like it, but you know, I kind of appreciate that it's kind of the original intention. You know, I think the original Beatles, the intention for it was to be quite slow. You know, it is a sad, slow song. You know, it is literally John Lennon crying for help when he was having a really difficult time. And I think it was supposed to be that. And then they ended up speeding it up and, you know, it became a much more upbeat song. And I suppose, but yeah, I think it is just a bit of a bummer. I do like a few of the, like the way he goes, won't you please, please help me. It's quite nice. And I think when I did the collaborations episode with Richard, there's a version, I think her name is Claire Martin. She's like a jazz singer. And Noel, and she does a version of Help. And Noel plays on it, I think. And it's basically she does the Noel version of Help. So I don't know whether Noel kind of came up with this arrangement originally. And then she was like, oh, I'd like to do that. I don't remember. But yeah. And her version's sort of similar. It's like lounge singery. And it really suits it. It's an interesting arrangement, but yeah, I completely agree. It's the Beatles. The Beatles version is brilliant, and that's just a bit dull.
Help me if you can. I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
And I imagine Twitter agrees with us. Yeah, 74-26 to the Beatles. Next up, so we're into sort of the an interesting couple here. We've got Carnation. So this is officially what Liam Gallagher and Steve Craddock from the 1999 Jam tribute album Fire and Skill. And this is one that often gets picked out, you know, when people talk about their favorite cover versions. Is it one of your favorites?
Yeah, I love it, because I didn't know the original song when I heard it. It was the one that had passed me by completely. It just reminds us of that time. Was it around about the 1999, 1998, something like that?
Yeah, it's
99. And I remember that time in my life, and this was kind of, as soon as I hear that, it takes us right back to it. I must have listened to it so much. I love it. I love the backwards guitars in it. It's quite psychedelic. I think they were going through, they did a lot of sort of psychedelic flourishes in the cover versions around about these times. The mouth organ, piano, you know them, they're kind of like, it's like you blow into it, it's like a keyboard.
Melodica, I think they're called.
That's it, yeah. You said you wanted someone on who knew about music and was into musical instruments. I couldn't even name that. Yeah, I love all that and the slide guitar and stuff. So, yeah, when I first heard it, I hadn't heard the Jam version. That is my favourite of the two. But I do like the Jam original, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, they're very similar, aren't they? And obviously you've got Craddock on there and stuff, and it's sort of, I probably prefer the Liam version, I'd say. I really like the Jam, but and they're not too dissimilar, but I think that the production, you know, that more psychedelic production with the backwards vocals and the backwards guitars and the phased vocals and stuff, and it's a really great, it's an overall a really, really good production. So, yeah, that would be my favourite, I'd say. If you gave me a fresh combination, I would only crush your center battles. With me, you'll have no escape. And at the same time, there'll be nowhere to settle. Next up, we've got a pretty straight version of Tomorrow Never Knows that they did live with Johnny Marr and Gem. Not a huge amount to say about it. It was just a pretty straight acoustic cover version.
Yes, I really enjoyed this. Again, really psychedelic, but the original was anyway. It was surprisingly good. I've heard a few versions of Tomorrow Never Knows, and my favourite one's probably the Ride version. They play live concert quite a bit. I know Andy Bell's a massive, heard a podcast, I think it was I Am the Egg Pod podcast he was on when they were talking about Revolver, and I think Tomorrow Never Knows was his favourite song off Revolver. So, you know, if anyone out there hasn't seen the Ride cover version of it in concert, that is phenomenal. So it's not as good as the Ride cover version of it, but I still really like it. It's quite a laid back, loungy version of it. But I it's one of my favourite ever Beatles songs, so it's always going to be the Beatles for me.
Yeah, it's got to be the Beatles. I can see why they want to do it, because it's a cool little one to do live. I imagine Johnny Marr enjoyed playing on it, but yeah, it's got to be the Beatles, isn't it? The Beatles version is such a masterclass of. Changed the world of music, really.
Did,
And we've got the Revolver box set coming out now, which would be cool.
Yeah, I heard when I was listening to the other podcast with Richard, he mentioned it on there, so it'll be interesting to see what that sounds like. There's a couple of little previews on Spotify, but nothing major, but looks like there's a load of new stuff being unearthed. It amazes me how they keep finding stuff, Beatles stuff, you know?
Yeah. Paul McCartney is just like quickly knocking stuff up in his studio. Oh, here we go. I found this. Stick that on it. You can reissue it again. But no, I think they were saying the main issue they've had here is the later ones, they're easier to remaster because they were recorded in stereo with multiple tracks. Whereas these ones, you know, it was like relayering on the same track and things. And so it was actually it's Peter Jackson's equipment that they used for Get Back.
Oh, really?
That's what they've used, this sort of AI equipment that can then separate out the tracks in that way.
Right.
which is really interesting. So I think that's how they're going to be able to re-separate them to remaster them, which obviously they've never been able to do before. You've just got the masters and you can fiddle around with the, you know, with the graphic equalizer on them, but beyond that, what can you do? But yeah, I think they've been able to separate them out now. So very interesting. Right, next up, we've got another Jam one. This is the Thick as Thieves one that he did at Coco in 2006, which is fine. You know, it's a decent little acoustic version. I didn't really have much to say about it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just the one he did with Paul Weller at Coco. Yeah. No, I agree. I don't know much about the song anyway, but yeah, it's probably the same as you. I don't have much to say about it.
Yeah, no, I prefer. I really like the album Setting Suns. I like the fact it's a concept album as well. Well, the first half of it's a concept album, but yeah, and the Jam version, I just think, has got a bit more to it. Then we got the 06-07 sort of ones that he did with Gem, when he did the little tour with Gem and Terry Kirkbride, and he did Strawberry Fields Forever, which, similar to Tomorrow Never Knows, it's fine, it's a good version, but no, the recorded Strawberry Fields Forever is an absolute masterpiece. That is actually my favorite song of all time, or right up there. And I think they do a really good version, and Gem's guitar playing on it's really good, but you know, it's just not good. It's not as good as the best song of all time. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, I think Gem kind of based his guitar parts purely on like the Anthology 2 version.
Oh, right. Came out, okay.
You know, if you listen to that, it's just Gem's just done that note for note pretty much. So there's nothing really original or rework about it. He's just probably ripped it off of the Anthology 2.
It's all right. That is, I think it's not too bad. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real.
Nothing to get hung about. Strawberry.
Wait, I've missed out a load, haven't I? Right.
I was just about to say, but
let's go back a little bit then, shall we? So we're going to go back to 2000. So we've got Wembley, Hey Hey My My Into the Black. So the Neil Young song. So this is interesting. It's like, because it was on the TV broadcast and people all know it, you know, from primarily from that. But it's not on the album, and it's one of those. So it's not. So I'm doing my, you know, epic ranking of every Gallagher song coming up, and it's not on there because it's never officially been released. But you know, it's quite a famous one because of that live performance. But what do you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, I like Neil Young, but he's probably as far down the country route as I would kind of go, if you can call him country. I remember this song. Because when Kurt Cobain killed himself, I think he'd written some of the lyrics on his suicide note. So that's when I first decided to listen to it, because I'd never heard it before. I think it's a decent cover version. We all know Noel's a massive Neil Young fan. So it's like his tribute to that. It's interesting that he skips a couple of lyrics out from the Neil Young version. So Neil Young sings about, you know, Elvis and Johnny Rotten, and he just skips them two lines out, which I think is a really good idea, because they would have sounded shit if no one had sang them. So he just skips that. I think they're pretty cool lyrics anyway. And Noel tends to choose songs with lyrics that are kind of about the rock and roll lifestyle, or about, you know, the trappings of being in a rock and roll band. And this is probably one of them that he's chosen for that reason, you know. But I actually prefer the Oasis version to the Neil Young version.
Yeah, I'd say so. I do prefer it as well. I think it's a good song. I'm not a massive Neil Young fan, although I have become more of a Neil Young fan in the last couple of years, because I interviewed Nils Lofgren when I was doing 1001 albums.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And he obviously was a big part of Crazy Horse. And so I deliberately listened to all the Neil Young stuff that he played on. And I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough. I get it. You know, I get why people love this guy. He's a proper artist, really bold, intelligent, you know, songwriter.
Harvest and After the Gold Rush are two phenomenal albums. You know, even if you don't like Neil Young per se, Harvest is just, buy that album, it's fantastic. And Harvest Moon as well. So them three albums for me are, but I can, you know, give or take the rest of his stuff, to be honest.
So I would probably favour Oasis. If I had to listen to one of them, I'd go Oasis. And the people agree, 65% Oasis to 35% Neil Young. Danny O'Hanlon again. He was obviously enjoying these. Can't believe the Oasis version is winning this one. It's okay, but Neil's the man. If you love Neil Young, I can imagine people saying this is sacrilege, exactly like, you know, I felt about the Beatles ones, but there we go.
It's a funny thing with covers, isn't it? Because you kind of say it's better than the original because the original is the original.
Yeah.
It's like, which one do you enjoy more when you listen to them both side by side? And So I can see what he's saying, but really, if you put that to one side, which one do you enjoy more? And I would enjoy the Oasis one a lot more.
I agree. Yeah. Right, next up we have Helter Skelter. So this was a B-side from Who Feels Love. I've talked about it before on other episodes, and I just really think this was a strange choice. You know, the whole point of Helter Skelter is it's unhinged and it's crazy, and Paul's yelping and screaming, and there's discordant guitars in the background, and it's just nuts. It's the Beatles trying to, what was it? Paul had heard that the new Who single, I Can See for Miles, was like the heaviest thing ever recorded. So he was like, right, I'm going to beat it before I even hear it. I'm going to make the heaviest song ever recorded. And so they just went nuts. And I love it. It's genius. And whereas Noel's version is fine, but it's just a typical Noel rock song, you know? And it's like, well, no, don't. Don't take this and do that with it, you know? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'd like to have heard Liam sing it. That might have brought a different perspective to it. But you know, I'm a massive U2 fan, and I always remember hearing their version of it. That was kind of that's the definitive cover version, because I love the U2 version. But you're dead right. It's like the discordant, like sounds like the guitar strings are being snapped and all sorts on the original. And then they're like, I've got blisters on my fingers. Like, yeah. It's all that stuff, you know, that's what makes it the song it is. And you don't have any of that on the Oasis version. And it goes on a bit, I think, as well. But I was reading somewhere that the Beatles actually did a 27-minute version of it,
yeah,
which should be kicking about somewhere. So
I think there's an anthology version that's a lot more slowed, like a blues jam. You know, but yeah, I love that version. And what's interesting, it's so dynamic. You know, I think the thing with the Beatles, one of the things I love about them is how they didn't just like throw everything at the wall. It would be like, right, now we're just going to go boom, this bit. Now we're going to go this bit. And so when these things come in, like when the backing vocal comes in, it's more powerful because, you know, there's not that much going on. You know what I mean? And so
yeah.
I think modern music, I'm talking about like modern pop music and stuff, it's just a mulch of just noise. And you can't pick out the bass, or you can't pick out, is that keyboard? Is that this? Because it's just production noise. Whereas with the Beatles, it's like you can hear every single bit and how they all interact, and it's just genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Beatles, shock, Beatles good. podcaster fan of Beatles, shock. Where are we? Okay, then we have another big one, My Generation. And Oasis once again take on a legendary tune. Funny one, you know, the story behind it being that there was a Radio 1 call-in, apparently, a poll of what song should Oasis cover. And apparently it came down to My Generation and Country House, and the decision was My Generation, apparently. But I think they'd already rehearsed My Generation and they hadn't rehearsed Country House, or they might have even recorded it already. So, you know, it was probably bollocks, but, you know, I would have liked to hear him do Country House. But yeah, I really like this version. I think it's good. What do you think? What do you reckon?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. It's like my third favourite Oasis cover version. I think it just rocks. It's a difficult one to get right. I remember seeing the Lars years and years and years ago trying to play this, and they just messed up the end whistle, you know, ding diggity ding diggity. That bit, the bass player just couldn't get it right. And obviously, Andy Bell's in the band now when they record this, and he's, you know, very accomplished musician anyway, although lead guitar, rhythm guitarist in Ride.
Well, one guitarist, fantastic. He was just the one of the guitarists, main guitarists.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, to be able to play that bass thing, it's, you know, play it perfectly well, it's fantastic. But I do think it lacks, you know, the Keith Moon drum flourishes and things like that. You know, you cannot replicate that, but it's a really, really good version. I do love it.
Yeah.
Really do.
I mean, you can hear, like, if someone just came at it, you know, with no history at all, if you played this to two aliens, you know, who didn't have a clue about 1965, you know, the changes in recording since then, you would go, well, that sounds like black and white and that sounds colour. You know what I mean? The Pooh version, when you hear them next to each other, does feel, you know, smaller and, you know, and not as big and bold as the Oasis version. But the Pooh version's almost like a soul record, you know, and people sort of forget that at the time, you know, the Who were a soul band, really. They were, you know, maximum R&B. They were an R&B band, in the old school way of R&B, not like Beyonce. And so this is almost like an R&B record, really. They were doing like James Brown covers and stuff, you know, in this era. And I think that's the difference. It's got that kind of feel to it. But then, you know, and just I just can't even imagine like hearing that on the radio for the first time in like 1965 and him going, why don't you fade away? You just get, wouldn't you? I mean, even now with kids and stuff, you'd hear that and you'd go, oh, okay. You know, like, do I need to turn the radio down? It's like, oh no. Okay. It was just a wind up, but that's so clever. Like,
yeah, it's so clever. Like, yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, such a bold thing to do.
Try and dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
Without the history, I'd say you might prefer the Oasis version, but with the history, I don't think you can look past the Who's version.
Yeah, I agree. I've got the Who down as the best version. Again, Oasis play about with some backwards guitars on their version as well, which I love. That kind of psychedelic bit, which they were doing around about that time. But you just kind of get away from the Who's version.
Yeah. Liam struggles a bit. Obviously, it's sort of a bit of a live performance. Because it was done for the radio. Liam struggles a bit with the key change, you know, when it goes up. I mean, he just about makes it. This is my generation. He's right up there. And I think if he'd done if it was one they'd done like properly in the studio, then they probably would have had another go at that. But what do the people say? Oh, okay. There's 60% Oasis, 40% The Who. There we go. And Kaz, BHN Oz NZ, as Noel said, they practically own this one. This Carnation and To Be Someone, the only covers I think are better than the original. Interesting. There we go. Right, what's up next then? Oh, Noel did Bittersweet Symphony in 2002. Not a big fan of it. One of the classic like Noel acoustic set, just play a sort of, it's once again, it's got that similar kind of I don't know if it's drop D, but it's got that similar.
Yeah, fading out.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I've heard it. Obviously, it's not been released officially. It's one of those things on a bootleg that you go, oh, cool. And then you listen to it and go, oh, okay. You know, but pretty average, really.
Yeah, he changes the lyrics as well. He says, where all good friends meet. And it should be where all the veins meet is the verb, the verb lyrics. So, I don't know if that's intentional or whether because I always thought it was where friends meet.
Yeah.
But it's actually where veins meet.
Or where veins meet.
where all the veins meet.
Oh, right. Veins meet. Yeah.
All the veins. It must mean his heart or something.
Yeah.
That's maybe. What I think. Is. Yeah. But that's the only notable thing I could kind of find about that. I think the version I listened to, it was like, as if he was looking for a song to play because something, maybe the band had snapped, bass player had snapped a string or something. So he's looking for something to fill in the time and he just started to play that. And then, that's kind of how it progressed. But obviously the Verve is the definitive best version of that. Without
doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Million percent.
Different people.
Another one from the Merry Christmas Everybody, quite a big famous one, for the One Love album, Radio One, 2002. Good, nice, fun, you know, Christmas song. I prefer the Slade version just because it is the Christmas song. It's Christmas and all that sort of crap. But yeah, I really like this Noel version. I'll always put it on any kind of Christmas playlist I'm making. I'll stick that on there as well to have Oasis on. But the Slade one for me.
Yeah, so you know, it's a good acoustic version. It's on my Christmas playlist, like it's on yours. But yeah, the Slade version. But you know what a year 1973 was for Christmas songs. You know, Slade kept Wizard off the top.
Amazing.
You know, I think Slade were number one and Wizard were number three or something like that. But to have those two songs released in the same year, I mean, they're still going strong now. Yeah. I think Noddy Holder makes £1 million a year off off that song alone. Yeah, so something Noel's not really managed to do, is it?
No, write a Christmas song. He needs to get a Christmas song on the go. That's absolutely right. And
he put Sleigh Bells on.
Oh, Wandering Star.
Wandering Star, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, that's got Sleigh Bells. Yeah. And All You're Dreaming Of is a bit Christmassy as well, but not exactly. Yeah. Slade, 66% said the people, so fair enough. So right, then we talked about Thick as Thieves, Strawberry Fields Forever. Okay, so then we get into the, this is another interesting one. This is another one that I wasn't sure whether to include in my overall great ranking, which is the Within You, Without You, that they did for the Sgt. Pepper tribute for BBC One, or Radio 2, sorry, because they then had a TV documentary on it, didn't they, as well? So I sort of think of it as being a TV, but it was for the radio, but then they put it out on TV. And it's never officially been released, which I think is a real shame because it's a brilliant song.
No, it's exceptional. Yeah.
And they've actually done like the One Love version. So Cirque du Soleil did a Beatles show called Love. And and they basically did a mashup of Tomorrow Never Knows and Within You, Without You. And this is kind of the version that Oasis are doing. So they're doing like the lyrics of and melody of Within You, Without You, but the backing is pretty much Tomorrow Never Knows. And I think it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's slightly faster. It's, well, quite a bit faster than the original. I just think like Liam's vocals are perfect on this. And I think if John Lennon was still alive, he would love this version. He really would. Yeah. I'd like to think he would anyway. Interestingly, though, I've still got the Beatles as the best version because it was so unique and, you know, that type of thing had never been done before. It was, you just kind of get past George Harrison's version of it, or original of it. Yeah. But it is an exceptional cover, it really is. And it's a shame it's not officially released as a, you know, on an official CD or something like that. Yeah. Hopefully when we get the anthologies, it'll come out.
Don't hold your breath, mate. yeah, I think this is a real tough one, actually, because I don't know, because it's not on Spotify or whatever, I don't tend to listen to it very much. So because you have to physically dig it out and search for it, it's never going to come up just on a playlist or on Shuffle or whatever. And so, yeah, you can't dig out a CD and put it on if people that still like the CDs. So, yeah, but I think it's really, really good. But then I really like that Love version of it. I listened to that CD loads when it came out. There's some really cool kind of funny, like, mashups of songs, you know. Then they mash up, like, Drive My Car and What You're Doing and a couple of others as well. It's a really good album, that. But, yeah, I think you have to go with the Beatles. I think that is commonly thought of to be the most skipped song ever, because, like, people would skip it on Sgt. Pepper's. But yeah, no, I do really enjoy it. It's always worth listening to. There's so much going on, and it's, you know, as I said, brilliant. So, yeah. And the people agreed. 71% said the Beatles. What have we got? We've got There Is a Light That Never Goes Out, which is a cover that Noel has done. And I think this is a good, nice cover, but it's not as good as, it's not as good as the Smiths, the way Morrissey delivers it.
Yeah, I think the orchestration on the Noel version really makes it what it is. I think it's a good cover version, and I like the way that he doesn't just copy Morrissey's sort of vocal treatment of it, does it in his own style. But the Smiths version's the best version of it, and how ironic that it's off The Queen Is Dead, and our poor Queen has died today. So.
Yeah, and I suppose she's, Morrissey's probably getting a few quid right now from a lot of those plays. And I saw the Smiths were trending earlier, actually, because of that.
Yeah.
And while we've been on, because I've been jumping onto Twitter to look at the results, I just saw Paul McCartney was trending. And whenever Paul McCartney's trending, I think, no, don't let him die. he's not. He'd done a nice message to the Queen. So, now Ozzy Osbourne's trending. He hasn't died, has he? Oh, no, he's just done a nice message. I mourn. I mourn with my country the passing of our greatest queen, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, okay. Well done, everyone.
From his palatial pad that he's lived in Los Angeles for the last 40 years or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, where are we? There Is Light Never Goes Out, cool. Within You, Without You. And then we get the Butterfly Collector. So that's the one that it's the jam song, but actually it's Weller that does the vocal on it, which is fine. It's very similar to the jam version. Obviously, it's like a Weller vocal. And so it's like, well, okay, this is not really an Oasis. Noel just does the backing vocal, really. So,
yeah,
not as good as the jam version. And I'm sure it would have been brilliant if you saw it in the crowd, you know, but yeah.
I think it's another one of them ones where I wonder if Noel's asked if they could do that because of the lyrics, because it's essentially about a groupie, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's the trappings of being a rock star and in the rock and roll lifestyle. I always think it sounds like The Crying Game. You know, the Crying Game. If you listen to The Crying Game and you listen to this,
really?
I know Paul Weller ripped off quite a few people as well as Noel did. So Dave Berry, The Crying Game, listen to that side by side, and he pretty much rips that song off for the Butterfly Collector. I do like the last the last part of it where I think it ramps up and goes up a gear for the last sort of minute and a half.
Yeah.
But I've got the jams version down as being my favourite of the two.
Yeah, it's the Jams version, isn't it? I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't add much, this one, and it's sort of, you know, and you may as well just have the proper recorded version. And we're going to put a pin in it there. We'll come back next time to do the solo years cover versions. Some good BDI stuff, Noel and Liam. So yeah, join us then. We will also, with Andy, we discussed the track Fuck It In The Bushes. So we're going to cover that in the next episode as well. And that'll be 199. And then after that will be 200 with the great ranking of every song ever recorded and officially released by Liam, Noel, BDI, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, everyone. So all good stuff. Right, that is it for today. Thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod. Please follow in all the places you can. Drop me an email if you want to, oasispod@gmail.com. And if you do want to submit a guitar breakdown of Fuck It In The Bushes, then please do so, because I'm just in the process of editing the next episode. So if you get it in a sort of couple of days after hearing this, then that could be in next episode and you could feature on the world famous Oasis podcast. All right, that'll do it for today. Thanks, everyone. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.